All right, so the WNBA had their All-Star game this weekend. No Caitlin Clark. She's dealing with a groin injury right now, but she was there. It was in Indiana, and it looked like they had a pretty good crowd there. And the players made news because they all wore T-shirts before the game that said, "Pay us what you owe us." That was their message to ownership in the WNBA. That I guess October is sort of the if you're a WNBA fan, that's the time frame to be looking at where they could opt out of their current CBA.
Yep.
And they're going to get more money. They've got a bigger TV deal now. We can talk about Caitlin Clark and the Caitlin Clark effect and all those things. And they never made any money until she got there, blah, blah, blah. The bottom line is that media companies are spending more to carry their games, and their games are drawing more eyeballs for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Any number of reasons. I think Caitlin Clark, the number one reason.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it is helpful that all of this was happening at the same time that the WNBA was ascending as Caitlin Clark came about.
Yes.
And then she just kind of put it on a skyrocket.
She strapped a rocket to it. Yeah.
Because she's definitely the number one reason, but they were trending upward as she was coming along at the same time.
No doubt. Now yet, some of these players who've been around for a while cannot resist taking shots, either physical or verbal, at Caitlin Clark. This was Kelsey Plum sitting next to Sabrina Ionescu at the, it looked to be a post-game press conference. I don't know if it was pre-game or post-game, but they were talking about the T-shirts.
Yeah.
It had to be post-game because they wore the T-shirts in the pre-game.
Yeah, all-star game media availability.
Pay us what you owe us. And we'll get into whether, you know, pay us what you owe us and wearing T-shirts is a statement that this particular group of labor should be saying to management. You know, like that's a separate argument. But Kelsey Plum just couldn't resist saying that the T-shirts weren't really part of, Caitlin Clark wasn't really part of the T-shirt thing.
That was a very powerful moment. We didn't, at least as players, we didn't know that that was going to happen. So I think it was kind of like a genuine surprise. But the T-shirt, just United Front, was determined this morning. That we had a meeting for, and you know, not to tattletale, but zero members of Team Clark were very present for that. But no, we were just we had a very
that really needed to be mentioned.
No, I'm trying to make a situation light, okay?
Oh, is that what you're doing?
That's definitely what it did. It made the situation light.
Yeah. Yeah, Sabrina Ionescu looked like she wanted to crawl into a hole when Kelsey Plum said that. Why? Like, I don't know. Like, at the end of the day, I'm not a big WNBA guy. Like, I just, when I observe and I see stupidity and a lack of self-awareness, and I'm not saying that Kelsey Plum is a stupid person. I'm saying that type of stuff is stupid.
Yeah, that comment in and of itself.
It's counterintuitive. The only reason that you guys, the main reason that you women can sit down at a bargaining table with a straight face and ask for whatever raise it is you're going to be asking for, the biggest reason is Caitlin Clark.
Yeah.
She is the biggest boat that is raising the tide for all of you right now. And for whatever reason, that is petty.
Yeah.
That is, you know what, it was a powerful moment and it was a powerful movement. And we were a united front. Oh, except for Caitlin Clark. She wasn't there.
Yeah.
Like,
so I agree with you. But I think where I differ is that I do kind of like it. Like, everything you're saying is true.
Yeah.
They should probably be more, they should be competitive, obviously, with Caitlin Clark. They shouldn't just, like, bow at her feet because she's a moneymaker, because they are competing against each other. But I think they should be at least a little bit more mindful and considerate of what's going on here. But I do like whatever this edginess or whatever this kind of beef, if for lack of a better term, is between the old guard, the established WNBA players, and Caitlin Clark just in her second season, whatever resentment that they have for her, it does add a little bit of spice to the WNBA, who, like you, and I love basketball, but I'm not a, you know, necessarily a WNBA guy. It does add a little bit of spice to it because, let's be honest, like, this was uncalled for.
Yeah.
Like, talking this subject matter, the weight of it, the importance of it, whether Caitlin Clark was a part of this meeting or not is beside the point.
Yeah.
Like, you want what you want, whether she comes to the meeting or not. She's entitled to what she's entitled to, whether she comes to the meeting or not. She can wear the shirt, obviously. So, like, it felt unnecessary, but the pettiness did entertain me.
Yeah.
And it does entertain me that there's this riff going on.
Well, it provides content. There's no doubt about
for
that.
Sure.
And I am Look, I'm a WWE fan, so I know all about manufactured animus towards other people. You know, scripts and storylines and heroes and villains and things like that.
I'm not sure this is manufactured, though.
No, not yet. Yeah, and I don't mean manufactured like this is manufactured. I mean, like, I like the hero and villain aspect of things. The physical part of it is the part for me that I'm, like, totally cool with. Like, oh, they want to fight on the court? I've been saying that all along. If Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark want to have this thing going on that'll make me watch Chicago versus Indiana games, cool. This is just a complete lack of self-awareness, and I think you're trying to make her look bad, you know, like that she's not part of this whole thing. I don't know. Kelsey Plum, I can take or leave.
Yeah, but every story, every compelling story, or at least most of them, have a protagonist and an antagonist, and it just depends who that is, depends on what side you fall on, but there's definitely one when you got this Clark versus old guard situation going on. I don't really get it. Like, why they have to be this way with her, but they are for whatever reason.
Okay, so she's saying now, we have texters saying that was not directly a Caitlin Clark. She was the team captain for the other team. She was stating the other team wasn't present at the thing. Okay, then if that's the case, it does change things a little bit. It wouldn't shock me if she were just trying to drag Caitlin Clark's name into it to say they weren't there and make Caitlin look bad, because that's kind of what that's what some of these veteran players have been trying to do since she got drafted to Indiana. But that's a fair counterpoint. All right, let's get to Dave Portnoy. Hired by Fox to be part of really their overall sports package. Dave Portnoy, founder of Barstool Sports.
Yeah.
Barstool is going to have a show on 8 to 10 a.m. reportedly every day, Monday through Friday. The big thing, I think, that impacts my watching, because I don't watch a lot of TV during the day, particularly from 8 to 10 a.m., I'm kind of busy, would be that they're adding Dave Portnoy to Big Noon Saturday.
Right.
Which is Fox's version of College Game Day. Goes right up against College Game Day on Fox, typically covering the Big Ten. ESPN is more associated with the SEC.
Yeah.
The headlines last week when they hired Portnoy for this role, B. Scott, was that this is Fox's answer to Pat McAfee being added to Game Day last year, 2 years ago, whenever it was.
Which is a logical conclusion.
It is, in so much as they're both very loud, non-traditional, entrepreneurial, built a huge audience guys.
Yeah.
I contend that McAfee, in terms of how he likes to be portrayed, very different than Portnoy. Portnoy does not mind being the bad guy at all.
Yeah.
McAfee, I think, likes being liked. I think that's a very different dynamic.
But both very online.
Very online.
It's bringing the internet to your broadcast.
And I think I think that's a valid point. I do think from a content standpoint, it does sound like Portnoy is more of a counter, for Game Day at least, to Paul Feinbaum, who is viewed as an SEC homer, thinks Arch Manning is going to be the greatest quarterback that ever lived. You know, has a radio show down in Alabama where Auburn and Alabama fans square off on the phones all the time with you. He is an SEC guy, Paul Feinbaum. And I think by proxy, ESPN is viewed as the SEC network. I know there's an SEC network, but you know what I mean. They're like the SEC card carrying.
Yeah,
you know,
like I think for
banner,
both reasons, yeah.
Banner carrying.
Because of Feinbaum and because they have the SEC network, I think.
Reportedly, Portnoy is being brought in, according to Awful Announcing had this article, that the reports are he's being brought in to specifically be a fanboy for the Big Ten to counter-program Feinbaum, because as it's structured right now, it's a campaign to get into the postseason.
Yeah.
You know, the conferences don't have a fixed number of spots, and apparently there's a feeling within either Fox or the Big Ten or both that some of the campaigning that gets done on behalf of the SEC on ESPN factors in. Now, I will point, Alabama didn't make the playoff last year.
Right.
And Indiana did make the playoff last year.
So,
but they want him to be a fanboy.
How about that?
What kind of Dave Portnoy do you want on your Fox Noon Saturday, B. Scott?
So, I mean, tell what I want. I know what kind of Dave Portnoy we're going to get.
Yeah.
If you are familiar with the dude, like, he is, whether you like him or not, he is going to be consistently himself. And I don't think he's going to change. And you don't bring in a guy like that to change him. Like, the whole point of bringing him in is to bring that personality and that energy in. So I expect him to be exactly who and what Dave Portnoy is and has been. I just think it's, like, I don't know how much money exactly Dave Portnoy is getting paid by Fox to come over there, but I just think it's hilarious how something so expensive is going to feel so cheap. Like, just and I just mean from the standpoint of, and I'm not speaking to the quality of what the work or the show will be. I have no idea. But just from the standpoint of, we want him to be the like our Paul Feinbaum facsimile.
Yeah.
Like what? Like we want to have fanboy counter programming.
Yeah.
And we're going to pay what I'm assuming is 8 figures for. Like, I don't know how much money he's getting. I'm sure it's a lot of money to come over to Fox. You know, both for
probably for the overall package.
Yeah. But you got, I mean, you can't convince me that this isn't a big part of it, a big piece of it. This exact thing that we're talking about, the SEC counter programming, the Paul Feinbaum SEC fanboy counter programming to have a Big Ten version of it on Fox. It just feels cheap to me for as expensive as it's going to be.
John Arand is a longtime media reporter. I'll just get this real quick because we're up against it. This is what he wrote. He writes for Puck. John Arand used to be with the Sports Business Journal. Fox executives see a chance to insert a big personality in their lineup and to leverage Portnoy's Michigan fandom, which dovetails perfectly with their Big Ten rights package. After all, ESPN has a high number of profile commentators like Paul Feinbaum who openly advocate for the SEC, especially when it comes to getting teams in the college football playoff. Once again, I will point out, Alabama did not get in last year, and a lot of people thought they should. So, who knows how the committee is getting hit with all this information and opinion that comes out.
But in terms of the influence, like they're talking about, I'll tell you where this is going to be big, on social media and the internet, because that's what Dave Portnoy is. Like, they're going to corner that market.
Dana Brown's best decision as general manager is helping the Astros out in a big, big way right now. We will tell you what that is coming up next.